this evening. Galatians chapter 5. Lord, I pray that you would take this night, this section of Scripture, Lord, and that you would really drive it home to our hearts. I ask, Lord, that we would be safeguarded from living a life that's out of balance, from running down bunny trails, from getting off the main road, Lord. We want to grow, we want to develop, and we want to mature in you. We don't want anything to hold us back. I ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes to important principles this evening. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I probably don't have to tell you this, but sometimes living the Christian life is difficult. There are many dangers. There are many troubles that we face in life as Christians. We have enemies, don't we? The devil is our enemy. The world system that's under his control is our enemy. And in many ways, our own self can be the enemy. The old sinful nature, the flesh, lots of things that we face and have to deal with as Christians. And there's another danger that we have to face, which I'd like you to focus on tonight, and it's actually the subject, really, for the whole book of Galatians. Something very important that we need to be aware of and guard against. A man by the name of Lewis Johnson, who was a Bible scholar and Bible teacher, he speaks of this danger. I'll just yield to his quote. Lewis Johnson said, quote, "One of the most serious problems facing the Orthodox Christian Church today is the problem of legalism. One of the most serious problems facing the church in Paul's day was the problem of legalism. In every day, it's the same. Legalism wrenches the joy of the Lord from the Christian believer. And with the joy of the Lord goes his power for vital worship and vibrant service. Nothing is left but cramped, somber, dull, and listless profession. The truth is betrayed, and the glorious name of the Lord Jesus becomes a synonym for a gloomy killjoy. The Christian under law is a miserable parody of the real thing." I have used that word a lot, legalism, in our study of Galatians. And it occurred to me this week that I've just sort of been throwing it out there. I don't think we've properly defined legalism. So before we get into our text tonight, which deals with that issue, let's understand exactly what legalism is, especially as it is seen in the Scripture. And I started at the beginning. I wanted to get a good idea of what legalism means, so I looked at a dictionary, an English dictionary. And here are some of the definitions of legalism that I found. According to the Encarta Dictionary, legalism is strict adherence to a literal interpretation of a law, rule, or religious or moral code. Webster's Dictionary defines legalism: a literal and usually too strict adherence to the letter of the law. Another English dictionary: legalism, a strict, literal, or excessive conformity to the law, or to a religious or moral code. That's a good start. Legalism is all about rules. It's all about codes. It's all about regulations. The legalist is obsessed, preoccupied with rules, regulations, laws, rituals. The legalist is focused on external behavior. The do's and the don'ts. These things that you follow, these things that you adhere to. A great example of a legalist is the religious leader in the day of Jesus and Paul, or at least most of them. Those guys had basically defined 613 different laws based on the Old Testament law of Moses and had categorized them into different categories. 365 negative commands, 248 positive commands. And they taught that you had to know all those laws, 613 of them, and keep them. Now, I know a lot of people that don't even know the Ten Commandments, let alone 613. This is the legalist. This is legalism. The strict adherence to rules, rituals, systems. But the Bible takes it further, and this is key. You need to understand this. Legalism in the Bible is keeping a strict set of rules in order to gain favor with God. That's legalism. It's keeping these rituals, this system, this regulation, this code, in order to earn clout with God. The legalist works very hard. The legalist is very disciplined. The legalist immerses himself in religious activity. In exchange for all of his hard work, he expects God to give him more favor. And in the mind of a legalist, he even thinks that God is obliged to give him more favor. He worked for it. He earned it. God owes it to him. That's legalism in the Bible. And it's very important that we understand legalism within two contexts. The first context being salvation, getting to heaven. The legalist teaches that you have to be good enough to get to heaven, that you have to keep rules and regulations. You have to keep the system. You have to keep all that's contained in some religious book in order to get to heaven, in order to get to paradise, in order to reach nirvana, whatever it might be. It's salvation by works. The legalist teaches that. Now, us as Christians tonight, I hope all of us as Christians know that that's not right. That's inaccurate. We know we can't get saved by good works, can we? We can't get saved by keeping rules, lists, regulations, rituals. As Christians, and I hope we all know this if we claim to be Christians, as Christians we get saved by faith in Jesus Christ, who did all the work, right? Christ came, He died on the cross for our sins. We could never be perfect enough. He paid the penalty. And when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, that's how we get saved. Salvation is by faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So hopefully, as Christians here tonight, we're all on the same page. No legalism when it comes to salvation. But there's another context for legalism. And that is within the Christian life after you get saved. So a person hears the gospel and a person gives their life to Jesus and places their faith in Jesus Christ. They become a Christian. They become born again, a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. My friends, listen, it is possible then for that Christian, that born again Christian, to fall into legalism in their walk with Christ.
And it's very easy. A legalistic Christian will once again become obsessed with rules, regulations, a whole bunch of things to follow. A legalistic Christian will construct for himself or herself this whole framework of religious activity. All these different things that they have to abide and keep. And most legalistic Christians get consumed with rules and the details and the specifics and the letter of the law. For a legalistic Christian, putting a sign in a flower bed in the park like this wouldn't do. Do not pick the flowers. No, a legalist would say, do not pick, twist off, sever, cut, clip, snip, snap off, pluck, pinch off, pull, bend, crush, pare, cleave, divide, break, touch or take, borrow, steal, remove, or otherwise harm, mutilate, or endanger the flowers. The legalist is rule-oriented, and the legalistic Christian turns the Christian faith into that. And worse, the legalistic Christian keeps all those laws, their system, all their details, in order to gain added favor from God. They've gotten saved by faith, but now that after they get saved by faith, they think if they keep all these rules, they'll gain clout with God. And so the Christian legalist works and thinks that God's going to give them more attention now, that God is going to give them more status, that somehow they're going to become more mature and more spiritual than other Christians. And that's why most legalistic Christians are extremely arrogant. The Pharisee. The holier than thou. And that's why most legalistic Christians also tend to be incredibly critical and judgmental of other Christians.
They're not as devout as I am, because I keep all these rules and regulations.
Folks, this is the legalism that Paul is preaching against in Galatians. This is a danger. Those Christians in Galatia were led to Christ by Paul. Paul shared the gospel with them, and they put their faith in Christ, and they became born again, and they were walking by faith. But then some legalists came along, Judaizers, and tried to get them back under the law. They told these Gentiles who had gotten saved that they needed to essentially become Jews and come under the Judaistic law, the law of Moses. They were telling the guys, look, you need to be circumcised now. You need to eat kosher. You need to keep all these feasts and the Sabbath. You basically need to come under the law. And I guess the legalists thought in their mind, you'll become more mature. You'll be much more devout. God will bless you more if you become legalistic. Time and time and time again in Galatians, Paul says, don't do that. Don't go that route. And that's the warning to us. Born again Christian, do not become a legalistic Christian. Do not fall into legalism. Now, I don't think any of us really have a temptation to go back under the law of Moses. Anybody want to go back into the days of the Old Testament? I don't think that is a temptation for us. Although I have met a few Christians that sort of get into the Old Testament feasts and stuff and Sabbaths, and they sort of become legalistic in that respect. But most of us aren't like that. We don't fall for that kind of thing. But it's so easy to get involved in any other different kinds of legalism. Anytime you as a Christian put yourself under a law system, It's legalism. And unfortunately, legalism has happened throughout the church. I was looking through church history and I found some requirements that were placed upon Christians who wanted to go to a seminary, a Christian school, and this was from the second century. What do you have to forsake in order to go to this Christian school? Well, you've got to forsake colored clothes, for one thing. Get rid of everything in your wardrobe that's not white. Stop sleeping on a soft pillow. Sell your musical instruments and don't eat any more white bread. You cannot, if you are sincere about obeying Christ, take warm baths or shave your beard. I almost said head. To shave is to lie against Him who created us, to attempt to improve on His work. That's legalistic. That's crazy. I don't have any problems with, you know, rules in school and stuff like that, but isn't that pushing it a tad? But there's a legalistic system, man-made rules that you keep. Now, you got to be careful. Maybe you went to a church or you were a part of a church that was very legalistic and you had all these rules and regulations placed upon you. This is what a Christian looks like. This is what a Christian smells like. This is what a Christian wears. Or maybe there's a good book that you've gotten recently and it's well-meaning, but it's a rigid plan of discipleship and it puts you under rules and regs. Or maybe it's a program. You can't live under that. I want to very quickly tonight just go through the first 12 verses of chapter 5. We're going to go very quickly, and you're going to see in these 12 verses 10 reasons to avoid legalism. Why you should not become a legalist. Look at verse 1. Stand fast there, Paul says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If you get into legalism, you will become a slave. You will enter bondage. The law will become your master. Whatever it is, that system, whatever it is, that program, whatever it is that you think you need to keep in order to be holier, will become your master. And folks, that law will entangle you and it will become a yoke upon you. You will see all of life through the lens of that law. You'll wake up in the morning, you'll think about what's on that list. You'll wake up in the morning and you'll think about people that you're going to meet and whether or not they're like the people on that list. Every situation that you face in life, you will evaluate by that list. You'll be enslaved to it. And my friend, you're free in Christ. Jesus came to die on the cross to set you free from the law. Why in the world would you go back to slavery? Why would you live joined to the hip to the system of law? It's like going back to a childhood. Remember all the rules that we were under as kids? You got to go to bed at a certain time. You can't eat this or that. My kids are telling me all the time, Dad, I can't wait to get older. Then I can stay up as late as I want. But you think about it, when you were a kid, you were under laws, weren't you? All these petty little things. But when you become an adult, you get freedom. Well, some of you are saying, maybe not. There's responsibility, but there's freedom from childlike rules and regulations, right? The legalist will become a slave. Look what else it says in verse 2. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Check that out. So if you go out and you get circumcised, literally what it's saying is Christ will be of no use to you. Christ will be of no benefit to you. Christ will be of no advantage to you. Now, this isn't against the very act of circumcision. If some of you guys are circumcised, that doesn't put you in this category. A lot of guys get circumcised when they're kids. They don't have any say, right? The idea is the theology behind this circumcision. Brand new adult Gentile men being required to get circumcised. And that is a push under a legalistic system. If you go under legalism, here's what happens. It causes you to devalue the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's what legalism will do. You will become so focused on these rules that you will forget that Jesus came to die on the cross simply because you couldn't keep rules. Everything that Christ did at the cross, all of His work and all of His power, it becomes devalued in your eyes because, see, you're focused on what you have to do now through all your rules and regulations. Listen, as Christians, our focus is to be on Christ, and we're to give Him value and honor and glory. He's the greatest, isn't He? Legalism so easily causes us to forget what He's done. And we'll put all of our focus on what we need to do with our law system. Look at number 3, verse 3. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. So, Mr. Gentile, if you agree with this teaching and you decide that you're going to go get circumcised, then Paul says you are obligated then to fulfill the whole law of Moses, all the dietary restrictions, all of the festivals, all of the Sabbaths, all of that. In other words, you will become a debtor to all of the law. Legalism puts you in debt. Legalism will cause you to revert to a debtor mentality, an obligation type of thing in your relationship to God. Getting in debt is one of the worst things that you can do financially. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. If you get in debt financially, the Bible says that you become a slave to the lender. And you are in a cycle, and it's so hard to get out of that debt and dig your way out. And you sing songs like, I owe, so off to work I go, right? And you're trapped and you're in debt and you have to do all this stuff to get out of debt. That is exactly what legalism does to you spiritually. All of a sudden you've constructed this huge thing around you, this framework, and you're obligated to keep it, not because Christ has asked you to do, but because you think you need to. And then you start singing the song, I owe, so off to church I go. So now I'm going to pray. So now I'm going to read the Bible. So now I'm going to do this or that because I'm in debt. I'm obligated. Hey, you know, when I read the scripture, I find that Jesus redeemed us from the law. He bought us. He purchased us out. Why live in debt? And guys, this is the thing that makes Christianity such a bummer for the legalists. All of those beautiful things that the Bible asks us to do in the New Testament for our growth and for our walk with the Lord becomes just a thing of obligation. So things, beautiful things like prayer and reading the scripture and going to church, things that we should do and want to do and get to do, that all gets turned into some kind of a payback. Charles Spurgeon, a man I deeply respect, said, and I quote, "I have found in my own spiritual life that the more rules I lay down for myself, the more sins I commit. The habit of regular morning and evening prayer is one which is indispensable to a believer's life. But the prescribing of the length of prayer and the constrained remembrance of so many persons and subjects may gender unto bondage and strangle prayer rather than assist it." See, that's the idea. The New Testament tells you to pray, and it just leaves it at that. Pray. Talk with God. The legalist comes and puts framework around that. Pray for exactly 25 minutes every morning. Pray for another 15 minutes at night. On Mondays, pray for all of your relatives. On Tuesdays, pray for the world. On Wednesday, do this. Or read exactly 15 chapters in your Bible every day. It blows it. We want to read the Scripture to meet with Jesus, don't we? Just to hear from Him. We want to pray just so we can communicate with our Lord. We don't turn it into a checklist sort of thing, do we? Oh, I didn't make it 15 minutes. Oh, no. I'm going to have a terrible day today. Ooh, I went an extra 15 minutes. Double blessing headed my way. It's ridiculous. It's legalism. Look at verse 4. I think it's a pretty heavy verse. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Christian, listen. When you fall into legalism, you become estranged from Christ. In this sense, the literal meaning is you become cut off, you become severed. The connection isn't there anymore. Why? Because the law has replaced Christ in your life. That law that you follow, that law that you're joined to the hip, that's become your Savior. I agree with this theologian who said the essence of legalism is trusting in the religious activity rather than trusting in God. It's putting our confidence in a practice rather than in a person. And without fail, this will lead us to love the practice more than the person. Where does our power come from as Christians? From hanging out with Christ. Amen? The Christian spends time with Christ. The Christian abides in Christ. The Christian communes with Christ. The Christian wants to talk with Christ. Christian wants that living relationship with Christ. And it's that relationship, that connection with Christ that helps you live a good life. Not keeping a law. You keep a law and it'll alienate you from Christ. It also says there in verse 4 that you've fallen from grace. Grace. The legalist falls from grace. Exactly what does that mean? Well, I believe it means that the legalistic Christian is no longer living in the realm of grace, which is the realm in which we're supposed to live in. Grace is one of the most beautiful words in the Bible. Would you agree? It, as a characteristic, it means delight and pleasure and charm and beauty. And grace speaks of how God has chosen to choose us with unmerited favor. He treats us with grace. We didn't deserve salvation. God blessed us with it by sending His Son. God is a God of grace. God wants to pour out His blessing upon His people. And if you're saved, you're under His grace. He loves you as you are. He saved you. You're His kid. Living in the realm of grace is what it causes you to enjoy God. Do you enjoy the Lord? Do you know how much He loves you and cares about you? Okay, so when you go to a law and you're just living your life with your nose in a list, you've moved out of that realm and now you're into the realm of works. And you know what the realm of law brings? Gloom and fear and pride. Those that live under law, they've fallen from that grace system and there's no joy. Come on, you guys. You've met legalistic Christians. When you see one coming, what do you want to do? Turn around and walk the other way, right? They're boring. They're no fun. You know, it's like pickle juice has been put in their Cheerios. They're sour. Story was told some years ago of a pastor who found the roads blocked one Sunday morning. And this pastor was forced to skate on the river to get to church, which he did. When he arrived, the elders of the church were horrified that their preacher had skated on the Lord's Day. After the service, they held a meeting where the pastor explained that it was either skate to church or not go at all. Finally, one elder asked, "Did you enjoy it?" When the preacher answered no, the elder board decided, okay, that was all right. That's kind of what a legalist is like. Take all the joy out of the Christian life. Take all of the joy out of serving Christ. Turn it into this list, and they're not happy unless everyone's as solemn and somber as they are. They're so good for everyone else. That's why Mark Twain said, "Having spent considerable time with good people, I can understand why Jesus liked to be with tax collectors and sinners." Sad, but it's true. Legalism will zap the joy out of your life. You will not walk in the realm of grace, and you won't be gracious to other people. Look at verse 6. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Now look at that very carefully. If you are in Christ Jesus, he's telling those Gentile Christians, which they are, they're saved by faith. Uncircumcision or circumcision is irrelevant. It's a totally irrelevant matter. And see, this is the other thing I hate about legalism. You know what legalism causes us to do? Major on minors. It causes us to major on irrelevant matters. Because the legalist is all into the details, right? And the legalist, you know, is usually the sin sniffer, sniffing out everybody's sin. Trying to find out, you know, who's doing what. And there's nothing more tragic than watching a bunch of Christians fight over things like, are you circumcised or not circumcised? Do you go to rated R movies or not? Do you chew gum in church or don't you? Fighting over silly things like that. And here's what it does. Legalism causes Christians to focus on irrelevant matters. and it causes Christians to miss the big picture. That's what happens. A few years ago, I met a brother in Christ. I believe he's a brother in Christ, but this guy was a vegetarian, or maybe even a vegan. And he believed that eating meat was sinful. And he had all the proof texts. Hey, we didn't eat meat before the fall. And what about Daniel and his buddies in Daniel chapter 1? All they drank was water and ate vegetables. And he was a stickler. You know, you need to stop eating meat. It's sinful. It's much holier to be a vegetarian, to be a vegan. And he would go to the mat on this. Finally, I said, I don't want to argue this anymore. I love State Line Barbecue. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And the New Testament says there isn't anything wrong with it. He got so upset with me. And folks, here's the deal. Here's a guy who became more concerned with Christians going to State Line Barbecue than non-believers going into eternity apart from Christ. Listen to that. Legalism takes all the attention off where it should be. Grace with one another. All right, people can have their convictions, right? And that's cool. Respect one another's convictions. But don't go to battle over it. Verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now see, they started well. They started, but then those legalists came along and hindered them. And the word is very interesting. Who hindered you? It speaks of destroying a road. It's used in a military context. You know how if you know that troops are coming your way, they're going a certain direction, and they're using a road? One of the ways you can hinder their progress is do what? Take out the road. Or take out the bridge. Or whatever. That hinders them. Then they have to stop and repair or find another way around it. See, the Gentile Christians in Galatia were on the road that was leading to maturity. They were running well. The legalists came along and put a bomb on the road. Put a crater in it. And it stopped their progress. And that's what legalism will do. It will stop your progress. It doesn't aid in maturity. And see, this is what's really, really tricky about legalism and really deceitful. Legalistic things are always presented as a step up, right? It's a step up, man. Come along. We're going to get more disciplined. We're going to really follow Christ. We're going to do this and that and this and that. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting into a group of men and having accountability in order to grow. But again, not so that you can earn favor with God. No, not so that you can think that you're a big shot. That hinders your progress as a Christian. You won't grow that way. It's been rightfully said, nothing will keep a Christian more immature than trying to keep a list. It just won't work. One of the best examples I can remember as a kid sitting in church, and a preacher gave this example of what legalism can do, and I never forgot it since I was 8 or 9. If you go to a zoo and you see a lion in the zoo, they're in a cage, right? And they look pretty happy. They're just kind of sitting in there, and they're well taken care of. They give them food and, you know, a nice little area to hang out in and some shade. And they look, you know, pretty much happy. But I ask you, will that lion develop to its full potential as a lion? in the cage. It won't. But it might be happy inside there. And that's how legalism works. You put a cage around you. And you're limited by that system. And you think it's doing you a good deal. You're really growing. But the bottom line is, it's actually removing the possibility for you to develop to your full potential as a born-again Christian. True, mature Christianity is not living according to a list, my friend. It's way, way better than that. Very quickly, verse 8. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. If you're a legalist, you're obeying the teachings of men. Jesus didn't teach legalism. The one who has called you doesn't teach legalism. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," Jesus says, "and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." My yoke, Jesus said, is easy. And my burden, Jesus says, is light. Christ wants relationship with you. Verse 9, a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. In Scripture, leaven is most oftentimes symbolic of sin and destruction. And it spreads slowly through a body. Folks, legalism spreads very easily, slowly among a Christian body. And I don't believe it restrains anybody's sin, really. It just promotes sin. It frustrates. You don't want to be a legalist. You want to be a part of something that's spreading corruption and evil. And then verse 10. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Check this out. This is pretty tough. Paul says of those who are teaching circumcision, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Yes, that's what it means. Paul is so frustrated with these legalists that are telling these Gentiles, you know, you need to get circumcision. Paul said, I wish you'd just go all the way and mutilate yourself. That's harsh. And actually, you should know that back in those days, the pagan priests did that. Many of the pagan priests living in that area, as a sign of their commitment to God, would castrate themselves in devotion. And Paul is saying to these Judaizers, why don't you just go all the way of the pagan priest? Go all the way into a system like that. My friend, we should have nothing to do with legalism, because I believe that legalism incurs the judgment of God. Those that promote it, those that teach it. Paul says, I have confidence in you and the Lord, Galatians, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Ten reasons why we should not get involved in legalism. Number one, it makes you a slave. It will cause you to devalue the person and work of Christ. Number two, it'll make you a debtor. Number three, it'll alienate you from Christ. It'll cause you to fall from grace. It will cause you to focus on irrelevant matters and you'll miss the big picture. It will stifle your development to maturity. It is the teaching of man, not the Lord's. It spreads sin and corruption. And, number 10, those that teach and promote legalism will be judged.
Now, you're probably not going to remember those 10 reasons. But just know this. It's bad. Legalism is not good. That's not the way you want to walk. Bottom line, legalism turns you into something that God never intended you to become. It makes you deformed, twisted. Definitely not what the Lord wants for you. I love the story of Hans the Tailor. Because of his reputation, an influential entrepreneur visiting the city ordered a tailor-made suit from Hans. But when he came to pick up his suit, the customer found that one sleeve twisted that way and the other this way. One shoulder bulged out and the other caved in. He pulled and managed to make his body fit into that suit. As he returned home on the bus, another passenger noticed his odd appearance and asked if Hans the Tailor had made that suit. Receiving the affirmative reply, the man remarked, "Amazing, I knew that Hans was a good tailor, but I had no idea he could make a suit fit so perfectly, someone as deformed as you." Often, that is just what we do in the church. We get some idea of what the Christian faith should look like. Then we push and we shove people into the most grotesque configurations until they fit wonderfully. That is death. It is a wooden legalism which destroys the soul. And that is not what Christ wants for us. We're not slaves, we're free. Amen? We're not in debt, we're rich. How should we as Christians then live? Very quickly, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. You got to stand in the liberty. You're free. And look down at verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Now, we'll talk about this more next week. How do we as Christians live? How should we live? What is the way to maturity? There's three words that stand out. By the Spirit, by faith, and by love. And Paul will speak much more about that later, but definitely not by law. Amen? Lord, deliver us from those things that imprison us. Lord, we want to live mature Christian lives, not stifled and enslaved to all kinds of rules and regulations, and many of them being completely irrelevant. Father, I pray that we would be Christians who just love you, spend time with you. I pray, Lord, that we would be fully surrendered to you, that your Holy Spirit might move in and through us. Lord, thank you for the reminder. I do pray if anyone here tonight is lost the joy of the Christian life, that perhaps tonight it would be restored. with your head bowed and eyes closed, maybe some here have just sort of struggled with this, and you just want prayer. The Lord will restore the joy of your salvation. Why don't you just take just a couple minutes, just deep in your heart. Just ask the Lord to rearrange your priorities. Father, I want to pray for any here tonight that are in that, Lord, that you would help us to keep the perspective proper. Help us remember, Lord, that just as our salvation is all about you, so our walk as a Christian is all about you. And Lord, I cry out that you would just put a fire in all of our hearts to walk with you. To love you, to spend time with you. And then, Lord, fill us with such joy that it's so contagious that others would be drawn to your kingdom. Lord, we want to be Christians that are inviting, charming, faces lit up with joy in knowing you. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.